Well, certainly, we're not the cause of social inequality in any direct way, but we're part of a big problem. And this is a problem around the developed world where the gap between the rich and the poor is getting wider. And because the economies of these countries are changing over to a kind of knowledge economy where a degree is really important, because we teach 30 to 40% of the young population, we're helping them move ahead, and the rest potentially are being relatively disadvantaged. So I've been writing about how we need to be really sensitive to this and at least make sure that we're socially representative, because it's the poor that are tending not to get into universities at the moment.
Now, you mentioned one of the ways we can make tertiary education more accessible to students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds is to scrap the ATAR, which is the mark students are currently getting for their higher school certificates. How would a mark rather than a rank help?
Okay, so ATAR is a rank. And so if someone is ranked 50, then they could be much better educated than someone who was ranked 50 10 years ago if the school system had improved. So one of the problems with the ATAR is that if you just have a single number fixed in your mind as a minimum and the school system improves, which we hope it is doing, then you're actually disadvantaging people. But it's much more complicated than that. It's not a very good predictor as to how people will do in universities. There's clear evidence that if you come from an independent or a good school in an affluent neighborhood, there'll be more ATAR points groomed onto you. So ATAR basically works against people who would be first in family to go to university and who come from neighborhoods where they're disadvantaged.
And you also say we should change the way employers value degrees, which is something a lot of young people have thought about. I mean, a lot of young people are floating around with degrees and extremely unable to find employment as well. So how would you change it?
Well, I think there are different problems going on at the same time. I think in the last year or two, the premium on having a degree has come off. So there is more graduate unemployment and starting salaries are probably lower. And graduates might be finding work, but not in their chosen field. So that is a relatively recent problem of the last year or two, I think. But more generally, because this will pick up again, I think employers are being lazy if they just appoint people from a particular university because they like that university. They may not even need a degree for the job being offered. And I think that employers should be looking more carefully at the actual individual. And in some experiments in the UK, they're screening off from the CV whether a person's got a degree or not, and they're choosing the qualities of the person. So I think an element of that would be healthy. By and large, my central message is we may have just gone too far in thinking that a degree is the be-all and end-all, and we're building up disappointment for people with degrees, and we're locking out people who don't have degrees.
And if you're just joining me, I'm talking to Professor Stephen Parker from the University of Canberra and talking about apprenticeships as well. I mean, the government currently gives some support to TAFE institutions and helps fund places for courses that teach skills. But in Germany, which you talked about in your articles, companies like Siemens train apprentices until they are professionally qualified. Is this something you'd like to see in Australia?
Yeah, I think we've moved too far over to the idea that a degree is a prerequisite for all professional careers. And we do have apprenticeships in the trades. There's certainly problems funding and other problems around apprenticeship for trades. But in other countries, they have a notion of higher apprenticeships. They're called different things, where people actually train for a professional career in the workplace, but they go off and do exams as well. And in fact, years ago, law used to be like this. People used to do their articles of clerkship, but they'd go off and just do separate exams about law. They didn't need a law degree. And I think we've probably gone too far in the direction of just expecting a degree as a prerequisite to anything that's got a secure career attached to it.
And just one other thing, is these changes to HECS loans and the finances in particular, are you know, university degrees are very expensive, even though they are supported by the government, you rack up a huge student debt. Yeah. Does this also affect inequality?
Well, the exact proposals that were made by the Abbott government didn't get through the Senate, and we're still waiting to see what revised proposals come. The evidence is mixed. Some believe that the HECS loan scheme means that poor people are not deterred from going to universities. On the other hand, there's plenty of sociological evidence that poor people hate the prospect of debt and it worries them more than affluent people. We just don't have enough research about this. But my feeling is that if fees go up, even with a loan scheme, you will be deterring some people from disadvantaged backgrounds. The other thing is that HECS doesn't cover living allowances, and one of the real deterrents for people from disadvantaged background is they don't know what they're going to live on. Youth allowance is very, very basic. And I think we should look at a system of proper maintenance grants, as other countries have had, so that if you come from a disadvantaged background, you don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from, and you can focus on studying.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Stephen, to speak about it.
You're welcome, Sam. Thank you.